Through the 1980s and 90s, Chris Bode had a relatively successful career as an in-demand session musician and sideman, and as a composer and producer. Then in 2001, after he signed to Columbia Records, the stars aligned. Since then, he's garnered worldwide acclaim as a headline performer and has sold millions of records. I met with Chris Bode earlier this year, just ahead of a performance with the Philadelphia Orchestra at the Mann Center.
My real success sort of happened to me in my early 40s. Success, where you can like sell a concert ticket, you know, that define that perhaps as that. But I had the opportunity to work with so many other famous people, and in the musician circle, I mean, even as far back as my very first world tour with Paul Simon in that band with Michael Brecker and Steve Gadd and Richard T, and, you know, amongst musicians, they knew who I was. But it's a whole nother thing to try to get up enough steam to get a record company, to get promotion, to get the lucky breaks that you need to, like, actually penetrate the consciousness of people. To get to that other next level took a whole mess of, like, good fortune and hard work.
Well, you mentioned the good look and the hard work, but you really were accomplished in a whole bunch of areas. It wasn't that you were good at just a good instrumentalist. You talk about the Brecker brothers, but they, having heard you play, wanted you, at least Michael Brecker wanted you to produce an album for him. Yeah. So you were coming to the table with a whole bunch of skills rather than just being able to play your instrument well.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's kind of what it, you know, more or less takes. I mean, I think that my success now is partially about my trumpet playing. It's partially about me being a band leader. It's partially about me having a serious appetite for being on the road. It's partially about me kind of always caring about my audience deeply. And I think when you put those four things up against a lot of other people, you can find rather quickly that the you know, you strip away a lot of competition. You'd be surprised how few artists there are left that will really put their money where their mouth is, go out on the road and treat their audience the way they want to be treated, and do it over a long period of time.
But how do you keep the whole road thing fresh? Because the complaint you typically hear from musicians is it's, you know, 22 and a half hours of travel, hotels, not seeing anything of the town that you're in, just to have the joy of 90 minutes or more of performance. How do you keep it fresh? Is it just the fact that you're going to be on that stage tonight?
It's that fact, and it's the recognition that, you know, we walk on stage at the Sydney Opera House or in Philadelphia, and there's an audience there. And I feel unbelievably blessed to be able to have that opportunity.
You define yourself, and I've heard this said more than once, as a trumpeter rather than as a jazz trumpeter, and clearly you do cross many different genres. When you're standing up, say, with the Philadelphia Orchestra, is that a separate place in your head to when you're, say, doing, I don't know, a concert of songbook material?
Not necessarily. I kind of view it, it sure sounds nice with the orchestra behind you, you know, and it enables you to play more classical things when you can have an orchestra of that level, caliber behind you. But I sort of view kind of what I do the same in you know, my relationships with the horn and to try to make the horn sound beautiful.
So with an orchestra like the Philadelphia Orchestra, because the thing I've heard from a lot of soloists is that this orchestra will react to you, you know, organically as one. Do you take risks with them? Do you do stuff on the night that perhaps isn't exactly the same as it was in rehearsal? And if so, can you feel their surprise, or are they ready for it?
Well, they're all such fantastic players. My thing that I really noticed, you know, from traveling around from orchestra to orchestra, the great ones like Philadelphia, it's not necessarily the time or the tempo or what they play. It's the texture. It's just the actual sound, the tone. And when you stand in front of that great of an orchestra, and two nights before you played with a lot lesser of an orchestra, you can tell right off the bat just from the first chord. You know, not only the intonation, that's just such a pedestrian way of saying it. It's just the feeling. It's just the inexplicable texture of the orchestra and the way they blend and the sound that they give off. Not forced, but muscular. Kind of athletic, but graceful at the same time. You know, it's all those adjectives that roll in, and then they can move, and when they want to really come out, they come out, but they don't never sound strained, but it sounds powerful, you know? And that's the same thing when you see Michael Jordan flying through the air. You know, you don't really feel his effort, but you can sure see the grace, you know, and that's the thing that I get from an orchestra.
And when you were playing with somebody, not to labor the Philadelphia Orchestra, but an orchestra that has a sort of a defined sound, are you struggling to keep your own Chris Bodiness, or are you happy to let that go and have that become part of the Philadelphia Orchestra? Well, what's happening to your sound?
Oh, well, so, but my last four records have been so linked to orchestras that it just works perfectly. The trick is for us is to make it so when we go off on our tangents, the orchestras don't freak out. So you really need a conductor that can like figure out, you know, where the time is and not be knocked out of the box when we start going off to Mars. That's really the trick that I find. When we're playing straight up, you know, something like Cinema Paradiso or Nessun Dorma or something like that, it's all good. You know, everything's fine. But when we start veering off, you know, in Flamenco Sketches or When I Fall in Love and it starts to get crazy, then the orchestra kind of goes, what is going on? You know, like, and you need a great conductor to kind of, you know, make the two things mold together.
Yeah. Your career now is not to put too fine a point on it, more than 3 decades old. People have been quote unquote returning your calls for probably 15 years. There's not really anything you can't do. Is there a career plan at this point?
I think more of the same is good. You know, I think when I look at, I mean, it's not the kind of music I listen to, but I look at somebody like Bob Dylan, who has all the honors and accolades and money that he could ever desire. And yet he gets on his bus and goes from city to city and plays concerts. And there's something kind of noble about that, that he's just, you know, he's not trying to open a fragrance line or a clothing line, God bless him for that, you know, or trying to be like, you know, an entrepreneur in that way. And so many young people that become famous, they just want to be all of that on Twitter and that and that and the other. And I just want to practice my horn and I want to travel the world with great musicians and walk on that stage and hopefully every night make someone in that audience go, wow, I thought I was going to see some smooth jazz, you know, sleepy time show, and I left that thing going, I'm going to call my friends and say, the next time Chris Botti's in town, you got to check that out. To me, that's my whole career, is just that sentence. Someone comes up to me and says, you know, I was moved to tears, or someone comes up and says, I had no idea what to expect, this is my first time, or someone comes up and says, I've seen you 10 times now. Those things are all kind of linked together for me to make it worthwhile for me to keep touring. And the other stuff I really don't pay much attention to. You know, I'd like to be doing the same thing 10, 20 years from now as I am, but, you know, hopefully physically I'll be able to hold up. The trumpet is, you know, physically demanding instrument, and when it starts going south on you, it's the audience knows it rather quickly. So that's really my kind of test, you know.
Well, we wish you many years of going north.
Thank you. Thank you.
Trumpeter Chris Botti.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.